Blessings inside the 5 o'clock hour. Big Rob, we are joined by the mayor of Muskegon, Mayor Ken Johnson. Stop by to say hello to us.
Yeah,
after politics and
after
all
his, after security came in here and tore the place up, making sure wasn't nothing in here.
Yeah.
So I wasn't used to that, Paul.
Yeah. How you doing today, man?
If only. I go to these other conferences and conventions, and I see the Chicago mayor and the Milwaukee mayor have their own personal security. I'm like, yeah, no.
It's a serious issue. But, you know, how are things going in the city of Muskegon?
Fairly well on the whole. I mean, we're making good progress, and there's a lot of positivity happening in our community. But we still have challenges to overcome and potential to pursue.
Right. What's the big conversation within the halls of City Hall?
Within the halls of City Hall versus the community at large.
Which one is better, right? The community at large?
He said you just narrowed it down.
We do both. We talk about what's happening at City Hall. And what's the conversation at City Hall?
I mean, City Hall, resource allocation. I mean, that's what it comes down to, because we have limited resources, and it's how do you allocate and utilize those resources in the most effective and efficient manner. Mm-hmm. And as the state is balancing its budget right now, it's looking like they're going to be balancing it to an extent on the backs of us municipalities, and we might be seeing $500,000 shortfall coming from what we expected to get from the state this next fiscal year. So that's going to prompt us to have to rearrange some things. So that's concerning. It's not definite. It's not been adopted yet, but that's the word that we just got today from the Michigan Municipal League that's keeping tabs on what's happening in Lansing with the budget negotiations. But it's looking like we might see a cutback in both the constitutional and the statutory state shared revenues.
I thought more money was coming in.
So there's the prospect of some additional dollars coming for public safety that's restricted just for public safety and restricted just for roads, neighborhood roads. But it's kind of a shell game if you're just moving money around. You're like, hey, we're going to take these unrestricted dollars away from you, but we're now going to give you restricted dollars that can only be used for these two things. So it's better to have greater flexibility. We certainly welcome more resources. And my fellow mayors have been working to advocate and lobby for that public safety trust fund. And actually, that trust fund was established last year and funded last year, and they didn't approve the budget implementation bill to actually push the money out. So it's just been sitting in a trust fund. And we were expecting to get over $400,000 out of that trust fund that had been allocated last year. And now it's looking like they're going to allocate it this year with the Public Safety Trust Fund, but they're not going to put new dollars in. They're just going to carry the dollars forward from last year. So we were hoping that we might see both last year and additional monies this year.
Well, is there a deadline from the state?
The state has to adopt its budget by tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Isn't that
the federal government?
Yeah, that's what I was finna say. The federal government on that same timeline?
Yeah. So there was a chance
5 o'clock or something like that?
By midnight tomorrow.
By midnight.
And so there was a chance that, and there still is a chance, that the state and federal governments might shut down, which has never happened in history, that both the state of Michigan and the U.S. federal government have been shut down simultaneously.
That's part of making America great again. About to shut it down.
Wild.
Part of making it great. That's what they want, right? Huh? That's what your friends want.
Absolutely.
Making it great.
Shut it down.
And their terms are making it great, Ken.
I mean, shut it
I'm
down.
I'm not saying that. That's my philosophy. Yeah. But
well, I'm focused on making Muskegon magnificent.
Let's say that's your focus. Huh?
So you've been mayor 4 years?
I'm in my fourth year as mayor and 12th year on the city commission altogether. So I served 8 years as an at-large commissioner.
Okay. The past 4 years, what has this been like for the city? Under your administration?
Yeah, I mean, we've got quite a bit done. It's kind of blows my mind sometimes the amount of stuff that we've gotten done in the city in the last 3 years, now going on 4 years, particularly because we had seen changeover administratively in that first year with the city manager, the public safety director. Both of them had left the city and government, and then our DPW director moved to Colorado. So we saw some changeover in these key leadership positions, and then we as a commission had to find a city manager and go through that search. And then also our city manager had to find a public safety director and DPW director. But so we really only got moving at full speed in the second year of my term as mayor. But we've really gotten quite a bit done in terms of the environment, from adopting a climate emergency declaration and then adopting a climate action plan to get us to carbon neutral by 2040. Investments in public safety, both police and fire, hiring several new firefighters, and We just got word of a new getting the SAFER grant that allows us to hire three more firefighters. So that's great, because ultimately I'd like to get to a hard minimum of three firefighters per engine and ultimately get to four per engine, which is the National Fire Protection Association standard. But we've also bought new fire trucks and engines and new turnout gear. I made investments in our police as well, raising compensation because we have fewer and fewer people going into law enforcement and the demand's still there. And municipalities are fighting over a limited pool of law enforcement officers across the country. But we've also seen a record amount of economic development, over $400 million invested in the last three calendar years. We've got another $400+ million that's underway right now and planned to be spent in the next few years. We saw a record number of building permits issued for this century last year in 2024. So community engagement and communication has also been something that was a priority of mine. And so my first year, we created a community engagement unit within the city manager's office. Mm-hmm. And that's led by Deborah Santiago Sweet. She's doing phenomenal work, her and her team there. Creating the Connect Muskegon portal, which is where we put major projects and initiatives online so folks can learn about what's going on. They can sign up for notifications. They can see when there are events or there's publications or supporting documents. Similarly, when we did our master land use plan and our Parks and Rec master plan, her unit, her team, helped the other departments within City Hall do the work they're doing so that we can engage folks on the ground instead of just like, hey, come to City Hall, talk to us, or go online. It's like, no, we went out into the community and talked to folks, whether it's on the ground in the parks or if it was like neighbors, neighborhood associations or in schools or healthcare or educators and the like. So we went out into the community to speak with folks and hear from them to inform what we do at City Hall and invite them into their own governance. And another major thing that happened and was a priority of mine in running for mayor was reviving our Parks and Recreation Department. So it had dissolved about 15 years prior to my becoming mayor due to budget constraints, the Great Recession and the like. And so that was a priority and we got to it that first year. And we've been working on building that out ever since. I have a Parks and Rec director, created a Parks and Rec Advisory Committee made up of citizens from across our city, and have committed millions of dollars to our park system. So we're seeing investment all across the city. And that's really key, is that we're seeing equitable investment in every corner of the city rather than being concentrated in just, you know, certain or select areas of our city.
Wow. Mayor Ken Johnson, we're live on radio and live on social media. Jake Echo, what kind of impact has he had since he's been in the city of Muskegon?
He's great. He is our director Development Services Division. So he oversees our planning and economic development departments as well as community neighborhood services. And so he's been doing some really great work, particularly around housing. That's one thing I didn't even touch on in terms of what I was just talking about, all the things we've been accomplishing. But we've been seeing a significant uptick in housing development in the city. And in that first year of my term as mayor, he and the commission had set out to do a housing needs assessment, and we contracted with Bowen National Research to do that. And that revealed that we needed nearly 3,000 more housing units within 5 years. And that was across the price spectrum, from low income to market rate luxury and everything in between, you know, workforce housing and the like, and both owner occupied and rentals. And so we've been setting out to do that. We're over 1,500 housing units that have either been constructed or are committed to be constructed and underway. And that does not include the redevelopment of Windward Point, or Sappy, the former paper mill site, and commonly known as Windward Point now. That's not even in that total. So, but another key thing is, aside from our housing infill programs, our city has really been leading the state. We're second to Detroit only in terms of low-income housing tax credit awards. So we've been going after, we've been attracting developers to do those LIHTC projects, and then working diligently to get those awards from the state. It's a highly competitive process. It's federal tax credits that are passed to the state, and the state has this process to allocate those. And so we've been working really hard to get those dollars and those credits to invest in our community so that we can have affordable housing. And by affordable housing, that's the state criteria. So the state would set the rents based on income, and it's set so you're not paying more than 30% of your household income on your housing rents and utilities. And so that's what the state defines as affordable. You're not paying more than 30% of your household income.
So with all the contracts going on in development, how do you think we're doing in terms of diversity, particularly with minority Black developers, Black workers, Black contractors in Muskegon?
So we do have some black builders and contractors in our city working. Not enough, in my opinion. It's not to the extent that is as reflective of our general population, but that's where you have a disconnect in workforce development and talent capacity. And so that's where more attention and resources need to be put. And I was just having a conversation with Jake, actually, our development services division director, about that a couple weeks ago. And he was like, that's not our core mission right now is workforce development. There are other entities out there to do that. He was like, the city could end up putting more resources and attention to that. But then that's his focus right now is the housing piece. But that's something that we do need to give more attention to in terms of that capacity building and the talent, the skills, trades. And so I'm happy to see more of that happening within Muskegon Public Schools now, their Ford Next Generation Learning Model that they've just adopted, fourth in the state to adopt that. And that's focused on career exploration and making sure that every student, once they graduate high school, knows exactly what they're doing. It's setting them up for success in adulthood. So whether they're going to get an apprenticeship or, you know, get skilled trades certification, or they're going to college, or they've got a job lined up already right out of high school.
Right.
So I think that's a great program.
Right.
And they're also looking at doing a bond refinancing next year that would then allow them to build a new, I think it's 6th through 10th, or it's either 6th through 10th or 5th through 10th, 6th through 10th, I'm pretty sure, career exploration center at the middle school campus, where they bring in the trade unions to help with the that career exploration and getting students experiential learning, getting them to understand what that entails and get them excited about that work, and give them that pathway to get in the skilled trades. Because that's what we need, not only the skilled trades, but then also, you know, the business acumen to be a contractor, to start your own business, to operate your own business.
Right.
And so that's something I'd like to see us give further attention to. We have, but I'd like to build it up more in terms of like that entrepreneurial ecosystem.
Okay.
So that we've got those supports and resources to come alongside folks if they want to make, you know, a livelihood for themselves and provide for their own families.
Right. And I know you guys have worked with the Green Room, our neighbors. Mm-hmm. You know, we went down and talked to
Patrice,
and he spoke very highly of the city.
Very highly of the city.
Has worked with them, minority owned, black owned, what do you call it? Dispensary
lab? Dispensary and grow
facility.
Grow facility.
Yeah. And also Rudy Briggs, good friend of me. We talked how Jake Echo have brought him in. And
he's working with Phyllis on our new Life and Skilled Trade Center.
Okay, good. Good.
Downtown.
Well, you know, the hot button issues now is downtown, the Mart Dock, and all around that area.
Oh.
I wanted to get your perspective on what is real, what is reality. Will that area, the Mart Dock area, is it going to be sold? Is it going to be moved? And if it's going to be moved, what's going to replace it?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I don't have the, you know, crystal ball to indicate what's exactly going to happen because it's in motion. We've been talking about this for quite some time, and by some measures, it's been many, many years, if not a decade. You know, going back to, I think, 2012 is when MARDA had initially put forward a proposal where they would take over the campground and relocate the campground to their Sandox property in the West End, you know, over in the Bluffton neighborhood. And that didn't fly back then. And there have been various different conversations since then and attempts to look at exploring relocating Mart Dock's operations to Fisherman's Landing. So the current iteration, though, is this current initiative, and we finally just got a written proposal this month.
Okay.
And so it's been discussion at the conceptual level, but in terms of a written agreement, we only got this year and or this month. Okay. And so I've said throughout that I support what's being considered conceptually, you know, at the broad overarching level, but details matter.
Yeah.
Words matter. What's in that agreement is going to matter.
Yeah. Right.
And so we finally got that this month. It's not where I would like it to be personally. If I had to vote on the current iteration, it'd be a no. I've shared my concerns. I've shared my questions. I've shared my preferences and suggestions. So we'll see what our professional team and staff and lawyers and their team of, you know, lawyers, what they end up coming with to bring forward to us in November. That's when we expect to have a formal vote. But in a nutshell, what's being contemplated is that Mart Dock would relocate its port and shipping operations to the campground at Fisherman's Landing, just the campground with one bay of parking. The rest of the parking would remain public parking, public boat launch would remain. There would be fish cleaning station, be public bathroom, fishing dock, pavilion. So there'd be all those public amenities would remain there. There might be some reconfiguration of them, but all those public amenities would remain there. And then the campground is anticipated to be upgraded and developed into port and shipping operations, looking to tap some federal grants to do so. And then MARDOC has committed to doing some revenue sharing based upon that, where they're paying money out of their port operations into a fund that would be advisor driven to be put into the community, invested in the community.
Right.
And so I would really like to see a representative from, because they're talking about the city, county, and MARDOC being on there, on that board for the fund. I would really like to see a Jackson Hill neighborhood representative, because that's in the Jackson Hill neighborhood.
Okay.
And so I would like to see them being representative and a commitment for, you know, those resources being invested into that neighborhood or into our park system. But in addition to relocating that and the economic development that would entail by allowing us to ship goods, whether it's agricultural products or manufactured goods through the Port of Muskegon to the Port of Milwaukee and revive that marine highway there. You'd see redevelopment opportunity at MARDOC itself for housing and commercial and a museum, you know, being able to bring the LST and the Silver Sides together potentially.
Okay.
But we'd also see environmental restoration at the Verplank property, which is just immediately north of Fisherman's Landing. And so we'd see some wetland restoration there. And then the city anticipates acquiring about half that property for both environmental preservation as well as recreational pursuits. So kayak launch, fishing platform, you know, low impact trails, and it'd be the entire waterfront right there, the Verplank property on Muskegon Lake and Muskegon River.
That's so a lot of land.
Significant public access increase. Yeah.
That's a lot of land. I use the bike trail all the time. That's a lot of land, and I wish it was developed, but I mean, I understand that where we at right now. But so the MARDOC portion, would that be accessible for the public?
So
where they at right now, there people be able to go there.
That's what's anticipated. And at the recent public tour that Mr. McKee of MARDOC had done, he had publicly stated that he anticipates at least 50% of the MARDOC being publicly accessible. And then there is the vacant property between what I'd say MARDOC proper is, where you see the shipping operations now, and Shoreline Inn. There's that vacant property.
Yeah.
All the way to the end of 3rd Street, and there's that vacant property right there.
Mm-hmm.
The city would end up taking ownership of that waterfront perimeter there, and it would be a public green space and park.
Okay.
And so that would be city-owned from the outset.
Are we still getting an Element Hotel downtown?
So, unfortunately, it was supposed to break ground in March.
Okay.
Its plans got upended by tariffs. And so the cost to construct and moreover the cost to equip
Make it America great.
That hotel has gone up considerably. And so that's kind of a waylaid their plans. They're still committed to doing it, but
they need to send that letter. Let Heisinger know.
Refinance.
We need to let Heisinger know.
Yeah.
the
tariffs are doing some damage, that's for sure.
What about the old farmers market? What's going to be developed back there? I live in that area, and it's, you know, it's not an eyesore necessarily or nothing. It's just there's no life there no more.
Yeah.
You know,
so there aren't any plans right now for redevelopment. The state recently had approached the city about potentially doing a tree farm there on a portion of that property. Something that
I didn't mean to laugh, Mayor, but you said a tree farm.
Maybe I shouldn't have let the cat out of the bag, but that's what they're exploring.
I don't need no more trees behind my house.
So
it ain't the fresh air, bro. I'm worried about it. It's the snakes, the mice, the raccoons.
That's all part of the
ecosystem.
They do a safari back there.
So the question,
the deer,
a drive-through safari.
Deer, you ever been back there at night? The deer come running. They be running down Fork Street towards Apple sometimes.
Yeah, I see them in our neighborhood.
So something that's potential, and this would need to have further exploration, and I've had some conversations internally with staff and fellow commissioners and a few of the neighbors over there, and you know, if you live over there, I'd be interested in your perspective, but the possibility of potentially moving the campground to the former farmers market site and tying that into Green Acres, because I know I've heard from Jackson Hill neighbors how they would like to see Green Acres revived. And we also want to look at developing a greenway corridor along Ryerson Creek. That's part of our master land use plan that we adopted, and that would help to, you know, connect Steele and Marquette and Angel and Jackson Hill amongst one another, and then also to downtown on the waterfront.
Right.
And so if we're able to do that greenway corridor and potentially have some sort of a campground, maybe it's not exactly as it is now on Muskegon Lake, but some kind of campground there with the revenue that's being generated committed to Green Acres Park. to be operating that, investing it, and improving it for the neighborhood's benefit. So it's very, it has not something we've formally explored with the Jacksonville neighborhood yet. But it's just something that toyed with, you know, had some conversations with folks to see what their thoughts were.
You know, what would be a good idea for that, especially in the summer when we have like the bike time downtown. Mm-hmm. There's a problem with getting places, camp areas or whatever. If the city could open that up.
At the very least.
At the very least, at least the city could get some money for, you know, maintaining it, you know, the grass around it. That's a lot. That's a pretty good amount of land. Yeah. And you could put some RVs or tents or something like that just for that period of time. Yeah. What is it, 3 or 4 days?
Yeah.
I don't think nobody in that neighborhood would care as long as they're not.
That'd be a good way to test it out.
Yeah.
Do it for four days.
Yeah. Just to get revenue from the city. You can purchase a little, I don't know how y'all would do it. I don't know. But purchase a little time, your 4 days, and it costs you $100 to camp there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, it would mean more resources for the police to be around there because these people are in RVs or tents.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That'd be a good place for that.
Okay. Yeah, I like that idea. Yeah. I'm going to explore that. I'm going to take that for
you. Go ahead.
Another question before we move on. Adelaide Point?
That's how you say it. Adelaide Point.
What is the stat? I like the background. I ride there a lot. I like the scenery.
Just finished. Finally. So there's one segment that was missing.
Well, I just created one. I went around the property.
there was a parallel sidewalk that connected it still. So people thought that sidewalk was the bike trail.
Yes, but it actually
was a missing segment on next to the small boat basin, what used to be the small boat basin.
They must have finished in the last two. I've been gone for 2 weeks.
Just finished this past week.
Oh, wow.
A few days ago, it was poured.
Hey, I was right in front of the restaurant.
Oh, you did? You had a temptation of the food, though, because it smells.
A good view.
Wonderful.
It is a nice,
beautiful view.
It's a nice restaurant too.
I FaceTime people in other countries. I said, "Look, this is our lakefront. This restaurant there," and they was like, "Wow,
it's clean. A great view."
But it's been. Why has it been controversial? I don't agree.
There's number of reasons why.
Remember, he's the mayor, Paul.
I mean, we keep it real though. That's why you come out. We can
talk. Oh yeah, yeah. No,
I say this. I don't take pride in business failing.
No,
anybody that's doing that, you haven't invested.
Yeah,
the man. I haven't met the guy.
He
might have made some mistakes. I don't make some mistakes. Rod don't make some mistakes. We all don't make mistakes.
Everybody that's human and alive has made a mistake. But none of us are Jesus.
And so there you go. So what? Why is it such a controversial issue?
Well, it's a number of different reasons in terms of that project. Whether it's, you know, competing personalities, or there's, you know, concerns about the environment and impacts on Muskegon Lake from accidents and some perceived intentional slights. But in terms of, like, most recently, it came down to financing and some issues with covering debt. And so one of the creditors decided to file for receivership to protect their interests in the development. Mr. Leesma retains ownership presently of it. And the bank that is filed for receivership is just, as I understand it, just the condo building. So it's not the entire development. And so from my conversations with Mr. Leesma, other business operations are moving forward, you know, as planned, you know, the restaurant and the boat service and in and out and the like.
Have they stopped construction?
Their plan is they're going to continue moving forward, and what they've been communicating publicly is they're looking to have you know, starting to move in within 90 to 120 days.
There you go.
So we'll see how that plays
you
out.
You said you wanted to move.
I have about 10 mansions in Africa. with some added services.
You wanted to move out your mansion and go into
a condo. I'm good in my little hood. I'm good. I like riding the bike down there. That's good for me.
That's good enough.
I don't like the condo setting. You get to hear people noises and stuff. I like privacy. it is going to happen.
Well, it's moving forward. Whether the current owner, Mr. Leesma, is able to resolve the financing issues and keep the project going completely under his control, or whether it's going to now entail, you know, partners or a portion of the overall development project is going to be, you know, put under receivership and potentially sold off. Typically, when banks are doing this and they're seeking receivership, they have a plan. Typically, they've got someone lined up to acquire and manage and move forward, because they're trying to protect their interests.
It's a lot of money,
and they're not looking just to move forward and create chaos and have things flailing.
So tell
they
me,
want, they want to succeed.
You see more data than I do. Is Muskegon, is there a market for that type of housing that is that high?
There's definitely a market for that in terms of whether or not our average resident like can afford that. No, I can't afford
these
that.
Are outsiders.
Absolutely not. I mean, there are some folks in Muskegon County that can afford that mm-hmm. and that are buying that. But we're not seeing a huge number of folks in our city buying those properties. You know, the select few. And then otherwise it's people, you know, that do recognize our good quality of life here and a low cost of living. And they might be living in Chicago or LA or New York and Houston and Atlanta and the like, and seeing these properties and like, you know, I want that, you know, whether they wanted to be their primary residence or a secondary home, you know, vacation home. But we've got a great community and a lot to offer. And so even though those numbers are eye-popping to us, when we look at, you know, $700,000, $800,000, $1 million for a condo, like that's eye-popping
for us. And then you can afford it. You got HOA fees, too. You add that to it. No, I mean,
But the thing that's that I think is important to note, because this is part of the tension that we do feel in this community as we're seeing revitalization, as we're seeing investment, economic development. There's this sentiment among some in our community that like we should only be building for what already exists in Muskegon. But if that were the case, we would just remain static. And so we need to welcome, you know, new investment. No, new wealth, new ideas, new energy,
new money,
so that we can grow and evolve. And it's not about transforming Muskegon. I don't like using the word transforming or transformational. Some projects can be Shaw Walker, you know, transforming a 600,000 square foot industrial facility into new housing. That's transformational. But I don't like talking about the transformation of Muskegon in our community, because that was just something that's wrong with our community. And it's not. Our community is good and solid and good. You know, we got good people in this community, amazing natural resources, awesome cultural assets. We're punching above our weight in terms of what this community offers. That's for sure.
Punching above our weight. I like
so
that.
We're evolving. It's about the evolution of Muskegon and, you know, just getting ever more magnificent.
Okay, before we go, WVSLP, 103.7 Muskegon, Muskegon Heights. Bob Garrison, that's running against you, good guy. And he speaks highly about you. What separates y'all, though?
Yeah, difference. He's a nice guy, affable, and he's got this calming presence and demeanor to him. You know, what separates them, one is it's a matter of a number of different reasons, but connections to this community. I'm fifth generation resident of Muskegon, born and raised here, proud K-12 product of Muskegon Public Schools. So I have very deep roots here, and I have a breadth and depth of relationships in this community. And I've been working diligently to serve this community. And he moved up here from Grand Haven 6 years ago, lives in over on Jefferson Street. And so he's been getting involved in the community in a number of different ways. And I'd welcome seeing more of that. I'd like to see him, you know, get on one of our boards, committees, or commissions that the city has. And I'll follow Big Rob's lead over here in serving our community. So I'd love to see that. In terms of his policy proposals or platform, I hear people almost every day tell me they're the same as yours, Ken. They're like, the things he wants to do are the things you in the city are already doing and doing pretty well. And I also hear that, you know, he thinks Muskegon is doing really well. And so that he's running for mayor to make sure Muskegon continues to do well. Typically, when you think a community is doing really well, you support the, you know, the team that's helping to make sure it's doing really well.
So that's no different than that.
If you look at his platform, it's very similar to the things that we're already doing here in Muskegon.
Wow. Last question. This term limit that's going to be on the ballot. What's your opinion about it?
Yeah, well, I think it's at the local level, the voters can decide every election if they're done with you or not. So each election is an opportunity for term limits. The voters say, we've had enough of you, or we want to keep you serving us. Mm-hmm. And Muskegon has a history of letting go of incumbents and saying, we want to turn the page and go with, you know, someone that's fresh, whether it's a 16-year incumbent or a 20-year incumbent. I happened to defeat a 20-year incumbent 4 years ago when I ran for mayor. And I know some of my fellow commissioners, you know, Commissioner German defeated a 16-year incumbent when he got elected. Right. And prior Commissioner Warren defeated a 16-year incumbent when she succeeded in her bid to be a ward commissioner. So we have a history of that. I don't think there's a need for term limits at the city level here in Muskegon. But if you did want to do term limits, I wouldn't have gone the route that they did in this initiative, because the way they've worded it is they create unnecessary conflicts in our charter, because it doesn't preclude you from running for office. That's how Heights and Grand Rapids did with their charter amendment.
Okay.
And they precluded you. They prevented you from even running for office if you had already served for so many years.
Okay.
The way that they've set up their charter amendment, you can run you can get elected. And now you've got the charter. If that term limits were to get passed, mm-hmm. now you've got the charter fighting itself, because you got one piece of the charter saying, okay, you just got elected and you're supposed to serve a term. And then if this charter amendment gets passed for term limits, the new piece of the charter is going to say, well, you've served too many years. You're not supposed to serve. And so you're creating unnecessary conflict. That probably would have to get hashed out in the courts, and it's right. going to take time and expense and unnecessarily so. But the AG's office has also weighed in on this, because it had to go to the AG's office, the ballot language for neutrality. And then the charter amendment had to go to the governor's office for review. And the AG's office shared a finding with the governor's office that the proposed charter amendment violates state law. Mm-hmm. And the governor's office has formally objected to the charter amendment. However, because it's initiative, mm-hmm. citizen initiated, the governor's office can't stop it from going on the ballot. If it were commission initiated, the governor's office could have stopped it, but it was citizen initiated. And it happened to have been funded and spearheaded by a Grand Haven resident with business interests in Muskegon, who paid folks $8 a signature to collect.
He didn't give me $8.
He paid the people $8.
You can pay the canvassers to collect signatures, but you can't pay someone to sign.
Okay.
And so he, as what he published, he was paying
$8.
Signature. Yes. You can look at the campaign finance reports. He spent over $20,000. On this.
Okay. All right.
You can say his name. I don't care.
No.
He probably can't because of the political stuff. So
anything you want to share before we go?
I love this community, you know, born and raised here. I have a deep and abiding commitment to this community, and I want to see every member of our community thrive. And I want us to be a welcoming community, not put up walls. Yes, we need to take care of our own here. We need to be investing in our community, but we also need to be a welcoming community and hospitable, because whether you arrived 2 days ago, 2 years ago, 20 years ago, or 200 years ago, like, you were a newcomer at one point. Mm-hmm. And so we should be kind and welcoming of folks in this community. And so I want to see that. And I want to see invest in this community. And I wanted to see it thrive for everybody. And I hope that the electors of Muskegon will entrust me with another term, with 4 more years to continue the work we're doing, because we're making great progress, but we've got more potential to achieve and we've got challenges to overcome. We're on the right trajectory, and I hope I have the opportunity to continue moving Muskegon forward.
Well, we'll see you on the 23rd. I know we got 2 dates we're doing.
He committed to coming.
He's committed, and Bob is committed. So we're just working on some of the candidates that are running for commissioner. So.
I look forward to that. And I really appreciate you and your team at 103.7 The Beat for making local politics such a focal point your programming and of our local media. Or even regional media, any media, put it that way, any media, like, you have been steadfast and consistent in covering local issues and local politics. And I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Even though they cut out money, public broadcasting. We're still going to be here. All right. Yeah. Thank you so much. Going back to my music, the mayor, Ken Johnson, here in the city of Muskegon, going back to my music.